ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 1 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। सूत उवाच इति भीत प्रजाद्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विवत्सया ततो विनशनं प्रागाद् यत्र देवव्रतो पतत्। सूत उवाच इति भीतः प्रजाद्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विवत्सया ततो विनशनं प्रागाद् यत्र देवव्रतो पतत्। Translation. Suta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaja Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows about to pass away. Purport. In this ninth chapter, as it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishma Dev will impart instructions to King Yudhishthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishma Dev will also offer his last prayer to the Lord on the verge of passing away from this mortal world and thus become liberated from the bondage of further material engagements. Bhishma Dev was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will, and his lying down on the bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love, respect, and affection for the great soul. I chose to speak on this verse because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada uses the word elites, or as it's pronounced in Indian English, elites, if you. But in British English, and probably in American English also, it's pronounced elites. Elite is a term which means the top class of people. Maybe the political elite, or just the elite means the top, the most powerful and prestigious people in society. Here, it refers to the greatest persons in the universe as accepted within Vedic culture. Means all the great rishis and sages who would assemble as Bhishma Dev instructed Yudhishthira Maharaj. the best people. Different people have different ideas of who is the best according to their own outlook or interests. For stamp collectors, if there are, I know stamp collection is still going on as a hobby, then the person with a very vast collection of stamps would be, those persons would be seen to be the elite among the philatelic society. Philatelic referring to stamp collection. There's also people who collect butterflies and just keep them in a box for display. Butterfly collectors. They have to be dead before they can put them in the box for collection. So someone who's got a very big collection of butterflies is considered the elite. So obviously these two examples of things are which people fascinate themselves with absolutely useless hobbies. Something in the material world could at some level be considered useful. Of course, stamps, you can sell them to rare stamps, you can sell for a high amount of money to other stupid people who are interested in collecting stamps. So in that sense, it could be said to have some kind of use. But a soil geologist may be very much considered to be doing have some useful function in human society, because from the soil, if the soil is treated properly, then crops may be grown, so in that way it has some use. So there may be an elite among soil geologists. There are various elites within various groups of people within society, but in the Vedic culture, the demigods, and even considered more important, are the brahmanas, real brahmanas, highly learned, knowledgeable, and we find that the list of that's given, the list of great personalities who came to see Bhishma Dev, they're all big time rishis, very famous rishis. Even up to the present time in India, there are people who live renounced lives for the sake of spiritual realization. But the ones that are mentioned here are, and throughout the Bhagavatam we find lists of various sages. These are highly reputable rishis. So this term elite, Srila Prabhupada, he often used that also. Well, in the context of, he was very interested in preaching Krishna consciousness among all classes of people, but according to the yad yad acharati shreshtas tata deveta rojanaha sayap pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. According to this, the import of this verse, Srila Prabhupada was very interested in preaching Krishna consciousness among the more respected people or the elite of society, with the idea that if the leading people of society, the people who are looked up to by others, if they accept Krishna consciousness, then others also will do so. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, even before he came to the West, he had an endorsement from Lal Bahadur Shastri, who was the Prime Minister of India at that time, for his Srimad Bhagavatam. It seems he was also friends, had some personal relationship with Dr. Radhakrishnan, who was the first President of India. even though he was from Chennai, he was a professor in Calcutta University for many years, so probably Srila Prabhupada contacted him during that time. So later, after the Krishna Conscious Movement had been established in the Western world, Srila Prabhupada went to meet Dr. Radhakrishnan when Srila Prabhupada visited Madras. At that time, Dr. Radhakrishnan was senile, or like a vegetable. Although he was a great philosopher previously, he was alive, but with no communication with others, and seemingly just his intellectual capacity had been shut down. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada made a point to contact the elite people. Such people are described by Shukadev Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam disparagingly. He says, Kasmad Pajanti Kavayo Dhanadurmadandhan. Why will a learned person worship people who are blinded and by the pride of wealth? Why should they go to such people when there's fruits, the trees give fruit, the streams give water, you can lie down anywhere, you don't need to go to these people for bodily maintenance. So why should a learned person flatter such people? That's for the transcendentalist. He lives independently from human society. Human society, the very notion of society means everyone is interdependent. But the sadhu, he detaches himself from humans. There are various levels of sadhus. Some sadhus, they take bhiksha from pious people. So they're also dependent in one sense. There are various brahmanas, there are various levels of brahmanas. Some of them beg. Some of them simply collect grains in the field, which are, when the grains are cut, some fall down in the field, and some brahmanas may go and collect that, so as not to beg from others, because in that way there's some dependency on others. Sri Madhavendra Puri, he followed the ajagara vritti, the method of sustenance of the python. Not exactly like the python. The point is, the python doesn't make any endeavor to go here and there looking for food. The python sits in one place, and when by the arrangement of the supersoul, not that the python knows that it's the arrangement of the supersoul because he's in such an ignorant body, some deer or some similar animal comes beneath the tree in which he's sitting, and the python drops on him and crushes the python to death and swallows that being. So in the same way, a sadhu may adopt the means of livelihood of a python. That doesn't mean he sits in a tree and jumps on people or animals, but that he just accepts things which come to him without him having to go to others. When food comes to him, he accepts it. And if not, he fasts. That's maybe easier for a python who eats maybe once a month than a human. Humans are accustomed to eating at least once a day, if not twice, three times, four times, five times. Yeah. At least what I saw among the Chinese people in Malaysia when I was staying there, their common habit to eat 5 times a day. And snacking and all this in the modern age, people like that. So it's considered better for spiritual life to eat less times a day. If one can eat only 1 time a day, that's very good. Anyway, the point here, elite. Srila Prabhupada wanted to preach to the elite, the best people. Of course, the best people in society are the Vaishnavas. But most people don't realize that. And so the idea is that to bring in people, people who have monetary means to help this movement. But that wasn't the main reason, Srila Prabhupada. He went not just to moneyed people, but to influential people. He was particularly interested in preaching to intellectuals. He liked that. He wanted very much that they would read his books. And he was very pleased when disciples of his got endorsements for his books from university scholars. He was very interested to have his books, sets of his books, placed in the universities. So, on the one hand, we don't care about anyone's mundane designation. We want to see that everyone is chanting Hare Krishna. On the other hand, as an important preaching strategy, it's important to that the elite people will endorse this movement. Elitism is a word that is derived from the word elite. And elitism means the pride or the kind of behavior that goes with someone who is a member of the elite. They're very much conscious that they are respected by others or in a position superior to others. And thus they act condescendingly toward others. They concentrate, they by various political machinations or possibly economic machinations, they keep the power within the elite. They restrict access to that to others, and therefore we have terms like nepotism. What other similar terms are there? Well, I can't think of any other just now. Keeping power within one's own. In fact, cronyism. One has one's circle of friends, old boys club. They keep the power within themselves. They don't let others come up. The Vedic Varnashram system declined into casteism, in which people who are born in a certain caste did not allow others to come up. Even someone may be from a lower caste, but very inclined to and capable of practicing spiritual life, understanding spiritual philosophy, but such a person would not be allowed to develop because they're considered ineligible by their karmic background. So these are various kinds of elitism, which is it's a kind of exploitation. It's not at all good. It's demoniac that people get together to keep others down, to keep others down so that their own group can stay on top. They protect each other so that they can stay on top. And there's a whole culture that goes with this. Going to certain universities. Being born in a certain family that sends their children to certain universities. Then they join a political party. They're considered more eligible for promotion to the highest posts. And this way there's a clique formed, which is sometimes mispronounced clique. Another French word. Elite is also a French word. Having a little bit of linguistics here. So they form a clique or an elite, a small group, which concentrates the power in themselves, and they have this attitude of elitism, of considering themselves superior. The British, they, by propaganda, they have convinced much of the world that British culture is superior, and that they very much imbued this within the Indian mind, so people think that to speak English is prestigious, to dress in the style of Western people is prestigious, to dress in the style of their forefathers, that's foolish. So it's very deeply entered their mentality. If someone from India is working in Britain or America, that's considered very prestigious. Although to work for anyone in traditional Indian culture, to work for anyone, to be in the employ of anyone is called Shvavriti, or the means of sustenance for a dog. A dog has to have a master. So similarly, a Shudra has to have a master. To be in the employ of anyone means to be dependent on them. That I was saying previously, how the Brahmanas, the best of the Brahmanas, they wouldn't accept charity on a regular basis from anyone. That's also the Purohiti, being the priest of a rich man, then you become dependent on him. This Shukracharya, we find in the Bhagavatam, he says, there's all this mess up going on because of Devayani and Yayati and Sharmishta. I said, because of this, being a priest, I'm caught in all this because I'm dependent on the financial contribution. Shukracharya also, we find in the description of when Bali Maharaj, he said, what is that? Vishnave Sarvam Dattva Murha Vartishyate Katam. If you give everything to Vishnu, he said to Bali, you fool, how will you maintain yourself? But he wasn't thinking about Bali, man. He's thinking about, you have to maintain me also. So if you give everything to him, how are you going to look after me? So it becomes a very materialistic mentality, which is not suitable for spiritual advancement, because one becomes caught in I am nija. What is that verse? I am nija paroveti. This is mine, that is someone else, my friend, my enemy. We think in terms like this. And then if one is subordinate or dependent on someone else, then he may have to put up with the wrongdoings of others. He may have to say something is very good when it is not very good. Now we're reading about Bhishma. Bhishma was fighting with the Kauravas because he felt he was indebted to them, having been maintained by them for so many years. He was fighting on the side of Adharma when Draupadi, Krishna, asked him in the assembly, she appealed to all, is this dharma that I can be dragged into this assembly in this condition and insulted like this? And Bhishma, he didn't give a clear reply. He said, well, dharma is very difficult to understand. He didn't answer the question. He waffled. So this these elites, they want to control others for their own personal benefit, measured in terms of I am nija parovati. This is our group, and others, they're on the outside. And there's a pride, dhana dharmadandhan. It may be dhana dharmadandhan or vidya dharmadandhan, the pride of being highly educated. People can take pride in so many things, just like stamp collectors, that example I gave. Someone is the top stamp collector in the world, then they'll get together among all the stamp collectors and he'll be looked up to, and some pride is there. I'm the greatest stamp collector. So for various in various ways people try to boost their pride, even if they have nothing to be proud about and they're completely useless of doing anything good, they may take pride in being the most degraded. If you read the life story of Srila Prabhupada, this Prabhupada Lilamrita, you'll find out about hell's angels who were, and still are, they're still going on. You see these 70-year-old hell's angels with their Harleys still pretending that they're rough and tough. So they were people who took pride in being the most degraded, nasty kind of people, completely in the mode of ignorance. They also had an initiation ceremony. The initiation ceremony, if someone wants to join the Hell's Angels, all the others beat him up, urinate on him, pass stool on him. That's the initiation. Just the opposite of the purificatory ceremony of spiritual initiation. So among them, who's the toughest, the nastiest, the most degraded, is considered the best. So somehow or other, people want to show the people who are durmadandham, those who are attached to being, who are in their ignorance, they're attached to showing themselves to be better than others. They're very interested in this. And of course, a Vaishnava, he should be nirmama nirahankara. He doesn't think anything is mine. Ahankar and mamaka, these two words. That which makes me, ahankar, what makes me great. I am very high class. And mamaka, this is mine, you see? All this is mine. This all belongs to me. So a Vaishnav is not interested in this. He's only interested, I am Krishna's, amito toma, tumito amar, ki kaj apare dhane. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings to Krishna. I am yours, you are mine. What have I got to do with anyone else's wealth and all this thing? Not interested. That's the foolishness of thinking something is mine and it makes me better than others. You see these big businessmen, they have so much money, so much money. Some of these businessmen, they're so rich that if they retired today and they spent 1 crore rupees every day for the rest of their life, they would still die rich without earning any more money. They're so rich. And what are they doing? They're busy making more money. Why? What will they do with that? They like to see their name on the list of the richest people. And their ambition is to climb up above the others who are above them. And if they're on top, they're very anxious that someone will come up behind me, and then I won't be on top. Madness! Insanity! That's another word for madness, but just to emphasize. Dana-durma-dandham, blinded by wealth. And the prestige that goes with that. They have their own private jet where they go here and there. They have their bodyguards. That's also a sign of prestige. You're such an important person that someone considers you important enough that it would be better that you were dead. So they may kill you. So you have to have your bodyguard. One thing is prestigious to be, have a bodyguard that you're considered important enough that someone might want to kill you. And also it's prestigious because you have to pay to hire them. So it's prestigious. So all very much interested in prestige. This elitism to show I'm better than others. So a Vaishnava should be very careful not to be influenced by this egoism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, and subsequently his followers in disciplic succession have warned, to be free from desires for lab, puja and pratishtha. Monetary gain, being respected by others, and having some big position. One is warned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns. These are weeds, the desires for gain, material gain, the desire to be honored by others, and the desire for a position. These are all weeds which can strangle our growing creeper of devotion. Now, elitism, I heard in Europe last year that sometimes, it may be in India also, that sometimes my disciples as a group within ISKCON are seen by other disciples of being elitist. Oh, they think they're better. It's a difficult point to address, in as much as I require my disciples to follow, or at least, I mean, I can't force, but I stress these things which Srila Prabhupada stressed, and that to devotees should rise early, they should very seriously practice Krishna consciousness, they shouldn't compromise with materialism, they should fully utilize this human form of life in the best possible way, so as to Yadgatvana nivartante tad dhamma paramamama, to go to Krishna and not come back. As Haripada Prabhu emphasized, as Srila Prabhupada always emphasized, We can go back to Godhead in this very life. Take the opportunity. Take that before the body dies, do whatever is concerned, required, so that we don't have to get born again. So that is my duty, to insist on this as far as I can. I can't force anyone. So this is considered to be following strictly. Sometimes devotees say too strictly. But that is required if we are to accept the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Atantra durlabha prema karibare dam shikai sharanagati bhakatera pran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the atantra durlabha prema, the very, very rarely achieved, rarely available gift of pure love of Krishna. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that by teaching Sharanagati, the process of taking shelter of Krishna. He instructed Rupa Goswami, who composed his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, giving all the rules and guidelines by which we can come out of the ignorance of thinking in terms of I, me and mine, and come to the platform of pure devotion to Krishna. So I emphasize, as all followers of Srila Prabhupada should emphasize, that the same things that he emphasized, that we should be very serious in our practice of Krishna consciousness. It seems that not everyone is emphasizing it so much, and thus my disciples are seen as being different from others in being more strict and serious, and that is seen as a kind of elitism. If one is doing something better than others, or if a group of people are doing something better than the majority, they may be considered the elite. And they may have an attitude, yes, we are better than others. So it's a difficult point to address, in as much as, well, what's the solution? Tell my disciples, don't get up in early in the morning, don't chant 16 rounds, and don't eat only Krishna prasadam. And in this way, you won't have any ahankar of thinking that we are better than the others. That's not the solution. To go down, that's the maybe the communist solution, to drag every on the social level, the social way, is to drag everyone down to the level of Shudras. That was the communist answer. Make everyone a worker, so that even the head of the USSR is called Comrade Brezhnev, as if he's just some ordinary worker. But he's not an ordinary worker. He's in a prestigious position. So the idea of dragging everyone down, better the process of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas is to bring everyone up. But if others don't want to come up and they insist on staying down, and then accuse others who want to go up of being egoistic, that's rather unfair. Although it may be that among my disciples there may be some feeling, yes, we are better. In one sense, yeah, we should understand it is better to practice Krishna consciousness seriously. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the meaning of taking? Someone's offering you a great treasure, and you just have to do a few things to get it. Well, do it. if we want to get the treasure. Another term used, guru groupism. I coined this term actually. So sometimes it's said my disciples have guru groupism. Groupism, this identifying with a group. That's also a form, generally that's a form of Maya, to think that, well, I am Indian, I am belonging to a certain caste, Chettiya or whatever. We are Tamil, we don't like those people from North India, those Hindi speakers. So this idea, identifying with a group, groupism, that's another form of collective ahankar, egoism. Vaishnavas are supposed to be sarvopadivinir muktam, free from all designations. Significantly, Srila Prabhupada translates this as mundane designations. We should be free from all mundane designations because we have... It's not that we should be free of all designations, but rather we should identify ourselves as servants of the Vaishnavas. It's good to identify with a group. It's just a matter of the identifying with the right group. If we identify ourselves as, I am in the group of the servant of the Vaishnavas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes he would sign his letters, Harijana Kinkara. This is his designation that he gave to himself. The servant of the Harijans. Harijan was a word that Mahatma Gandhi misappropriated for the people who had no entry into any level of elitism whatsoever, absolutely the bottom of society. So he called them Harijan, people of God. But the actual, that's actual Harijan is, the real meaning is a Vaishnava, a pure, a person of Hari, a person of God. So he identified himself in the group of the servants of the of Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that kind of groupism, that is very healthy, because that is our pure position, to be the servant of the servants of Krishna. The Vaishnava is, as Krishna is, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, he is the best well-wisher, best friend, heart-to-heart friend of all living beings. So the Vaishnava, the sadhu, is Suhrida Sarvadehina, almost the same, but Dehina, Dehi, Dehin gives the idea, especially those who are in this material world, who are trapped in the cycle of birth and death. The sadhu is the best well-wisher of them. So, devotee identifies with himself with a group, but that doesn't mean that he hates others, or he identifies himself as a group in competition with other groups, or to try to show themselves as better to others. It's a different understanding altogether. So it's good to identify oneself with this group, the group of the Vaishnavas, or the servants of the Vaishnavas. Last night, yesterday evening, some Sri Vaishnava devotees came here. They very kindly offered me a garland that had been offered to Tayar in the temple, the mother, it means the Lakshmi, Shri, and they showed me on their cell phone, they're dedicated to they're full-time servants, not Brahmins, but initiated, and their whole life they is dedicated to looking after the gardens of Ranganath where the flowers are grown and stringing the garlands for Ranganatha Swami, for Taya, for Andal, and all in all the different sannadis. There are all different rules of, on this day, Ranganatha Swami gets a garland like this. First there should be so many of this flower, then so many of this flower. All exactly as Ramanuja said, all great details, down to the last flower, still going on 1,000 years. So they clearly feel some pride in being servants of Ramanuja. But that pride is not a bad pride. That's to say that, yes, I am fortunate to have been blessed by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. That's not a bad pride. That's a good kind of pride. That it's not the pride that causes one to feel superior to others or want to exploit others. But it's a happiness, a gratitude that we've been accepted into this, a sense of identification. Mayavadis, they say that any sense of identification is bad. We should only identify, Aham Brahmasmi, I'm only Brahma. But the Vaishnava accepts his position as being the servant of Param Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, you Krishna, Arjuna said, you are the Supreme. So a Vaishnava, he's not much inclined to go around saying, Aham Brahmasmi. Even it's a Shastric statement, it's a correct statement, but it's to be understood in the context that I am a servant. That is my position. I am a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So to identify with a group that's a group of dedicated devotees, that's very helpful. That we're not on our own. We're with others who are helping us. Those who are present in the world today in our group, they're helping us. And our group goes back, just like the servants of Ramanuja. They have Ramanuja, so many acharyas who are all in the same group. Sampradaya, it's called Sampradaya. It's one group. And within a Sampradaya, there may be different branches. The branches of the Chaitanya tree are mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this idea, I, me and mine, aham mameti, this is illusion to think in terms of I, me and mine materially. But spiritually, it can be very good. Narottam Das Thakur says, Dhan mor Nityananda, Pati mor Gaurachandra, Pran mor Jugala Kisho, Adaita Chaja Bal, Gadadha Moraku, Narahari Bilashai mor. So again and again he's saying more, my. If someone says, I, me, my. If someone in their conversation, they always say this, you get fed up. Why are they always talking about themselves, promoting themselves? But he's very happily declaring himself that my treasure, my wealth is Nityananda. My Lord and Master is Gaurachandra. My very life is Jugal Kishore, Radha Krishna. My strength is Advaita Acharya. My family is in the line of Gadadha and Narahari. That's Narahari Sharka. He's I'm with him in performing all this. So So, in that sense, identifying with a group, that can be, that's required actually, it's very helpful. A kind of pride, pride in our tradition. Oh, these are our traditions. We have to uphold them. We have to do exactly, grow the flowers, make the flowers, garland in exactly the same way, and feel a great happiness that this is being done by generations before us. This family tradition, Kula Dharma Sanatana. Arjuna was afraid that the seemingly eternal family traditions would be broken down, because they were a source of pride, because the families in which dharma is followed generation after generation, that should be upheld. We should not blacken the name of our dynasty. We're followers of Srila Prabhupada. We should, if people see, oh, followers of Srila Prabhupada, they should be very exalted. They must, people who know and appreciate the contributions of Srila Prabhupada, they know, oh, what a great sadhu, what a great acharya he is. So his followers are also expected to be on a very high level of practice. So we should take pride in what Srila Prabhupada has given and take pride in upholding that tradition. We don't want it to degrade. We don't want to degrade for our own sake, but also because we're a member of a family. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's family. We want to maintain that on a high level. And if we say to others who are not maintaining Prabhupada, they're supposed to be Srila Prabhupada's followers, but they're not maintaining the high standards that Srila Prabhupada wanted, then we'll say to them, because we want that Srila Prabhupada should be glorified, and that everyone who is, especially those who identify as followers of Srila Prabhupada, they should be able to fully access the gifts that he's given. So we may say to others, please, don't do this. You're a follower of Srila Prabhupada, so you should follow all that he says. Others may say, now you're being egoistic. You think you're better. Well, in one sense, yes, we are better. We don't say that I'm better than you intrinsically, but it is better. We have accepted a certain path, and it's definitely, having taken the vow of discipleship, then it's definitely better to follow than not follow. It's wrong not to follow. So we should maintain very good standards. And others may say, well, that's just your pride and this. And at the same time, we have to be very careful that we don't have any mundane pride. The accusation may have some validity also. We have to be very careful of that. Saying, well, I'm better because I... Then again, we come to the story of the brahmana and the prostitute. The brahmana thinks he's so much better than the prostitute, because he is following a much better way of life. But he's proud of that. And the prostitute, due to her circumstances, she can't escape from that, and she's very regretful of that. And she's praying in her heart. She can't pray in the same way that the brahmana worships Shalagram, Shila. But she's praying in her heart, Krishna, please deliver me from this sinful situation. And she gets Krishna's mercy and he doesn't, because she's humbly and sincerely praying to Krishna, and he isn't. He thinks he's got a monopoly on worshipping Narayana. So, a distinction, we have to maintain a distinction between what it actually means to be a Vaishnava, a follower of Srila Prabhupada, and everything else, because there is a distinct difference. Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, he was distinctly different. He dressed differently. These are the external manifestations of his difference. He dressed differently. He ate different kind of food in a different way with his hands, which in the Western countries is considered very low class. And in Vedic culture, it's considered normal, proper. Srila Prabhupada had a different way of life altogether, which he came to give. He came to give the Vedic culture, the Vedic knowledge. So he was different in every way, which is one of the reasons why the hippies liked him, because they were trying to be different from everyone else. But basically they ended up doing the same thing, but looking for sense gratification, that's all. Different. They only ended up with different ways of sense gratification. But Srila Prabhupada had such a different approach that they couldn't have imagined that to give up sense gratification and dedicate one's life to Krishna, living a pure life. No one had any idea of a pure life. They had no idea what it meant. So Srila Prabhupada was very different, and he taught from Bhagavad Gita that if we are to avail ourselves of the gifts of Krishna consciousness, then we're going to have to be very different. Yanisha sarva bhutanam yasyam jagati sangyame tasyam. What's the next line? Yasyam jagati sangyamya sanisha pasyato munehe. The black and white, day and night. There's a great difference between the way of life of a devotee and everyone else. There is a difference. So it's not the same practicing Krishna consciousness seriously and not practicing it seriously. There's a very great difference. Of course, these are relative terms, but there is a great difference between seriously chanting 16 rounds a day and following all the four regular principles and not doing that. It's much better. We can unequivocally, with certainty, say that it is much better to chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regulated principles than not to do so. We're not saying that just to say, I'm superior to you because I do it and you don't. But it's just a fact of reality. We can't, if we just say everything's all the same, whether you follow or whether you don't follow, it's all the same. Well, that's not a fact. We have to see what is, in the name of not being egoistic, we're not going to jettison the truth that life lived seriously in Krishna consciousness is better than life not lived seriously in Krishna consciousness. It may appear to be elitist and egoistic to say that one should follow all these principles. Oh, you're only saying that because you follow, because you want to be better than others. Like I say, it's a tough one to address, because we have to follow all these things and we have to say that this is better than not following. So that does that make... Well, it does make us an elite, you could say. Although it's not our aim to become a part of an elite. It's our aim to attain the most exalted position of being a piece of dust in the lotus feet of the servant 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 of the Vaishnavas. That is our aim, to go to the highest position, which means to go to the most humble position. But we shall see who we are humble to. We are humble to Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Being humble toward people who are themselves not humble. To be humble toward people who are not surrendered to Krishna, that is not a good program. That is not advisable. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us to be humble, we should know how to be humble. To be humble doesn't mean that we accept untruth as truth, that because we are very humble, therefore we say that not practicing Krishna consciousness, oh yes, that's very good, you're very good, we should praise everyone. No, we shouldn't praise unpraiseworthy activities. Then we should know the difference. There is a difference. So we can't be both in the camp of the Vaishnavas and the non-Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected his dear disciple Mukunda Datta, who was trying to be friendly with everyone. He was friendly with the Vaishnavas, and then he'd also go and mix with Mayavadis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. You want to be with me? You be with me. You want to be with them? Get out. Don't come here. You can't be in both camps. It's not possible to be a Vaishnava and a Mayavadi. Then you become a Mayavadi, that's all. Not both things. Vaishnavism is exclusive. Sarvadhaman parityajamam ekam sangrasharnam. It's exclusive. Surrender to Krishna. And everything else is rejected. So it is, that's another term for elite. That's another term, exclusive. That means rejecting everything else. We accept this is the best. Nothing else. That verse is there, that Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. Tadhama Vrindavanam. What is the next line? I can't hear because you're all saying it once. Just you say. Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Prema. Prema Pumarto Mahan. Then Sri Chaitanya Matamidam Tadradaro Naparaha. So Krishna and Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan, they are to be worshipped. The best method of worship is that conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. Krishna Prem is the highest attainment. This is the opinion or the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we accept that as the best. This is our group. We accept all these things. We don't accept anything else. We accept this. We accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So the distinction, Krishna is supreme. No one else. Vrindavan is the best land. No other place. So this distinction, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. So distinction, we will insist. It's not that everything is all the same. You think this, you think something different. Okay, you think, no. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost prama. Nothing else. We cannot accept anything else. So, it may be seen as elitism But there's, what is here deplorable, criticizable about elitism is this sectarianism, that this is our group and we don't want to reach out to others, we don't want to bring others, we're our own exclusive group, don't allow anyone else in, just our own little club. That's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mode. Definitely everyone thinks their own group is best. In Vaishnavism also, Sri Vaishnavas, most of them don't go around saying we are the best, but naturally they think Ramanuja is given the best. Within our own ISKCON, we think Srila Prabhupada is the best among the followers of Bhaktistan Saraswati. And if we examine objectively, that can be said or should be said, but I'm not going to go to the various disciples of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, sorry, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur's disciples, and say, my guru is better than your guru. Our group is better than yours. They feel their guru is the best. For them, he is, because he's the one through whom they are connected to Krishna. So it's natural to feel my guru is the best. Just like every child thinks my father is the best. When he grows up, still his father is the best to him, but he understands that other people, they also have their fathers and they feel the same way about their father. On the other hand, someone who's cheating in the name of being guru, we don't accept that. But we can understand that if others feel the guru is best, and they have a group and they naturally like to go and be around him, just like you're coming to hear from me because I'm your guru. And others will go to hear from their guru within ISKCON. So that's desirable. What's the meaning to be a disciple if you don't like to hear from your guru? What is it all about? It's not just some... Then it becomes like a rubber stamp club. But even though they may feel, our group is better, we have, for various ways they may consider better, our guru is the biggest or whatever, is most merciful, whatever it may be. Everyone will feel like that. But we don't want to project some image. We are the best. We should preach what is the best. Not that we are the best. Naturally, if someone says that, well, those who follow this way of life very seriously, they're the best. You say, well, you're only saying that because you're doing it. No, we're doing it because it is the best. It's not round the other way. Because we've seen what is best, we understand what is best, therefore we're doing. I'm not saying that I'm the best. You come, you follow better than me, you become better than me, we'll be very happy. So this attitude of sectarianism, that is not good. But to try to set a good example and tell others what is the best thing to follow, that is required in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we should always try to see the good in others, not unnecessarily condemn them, not be fault-finding. We're always advised to try to be like the honeybee who looks for the nectar in the pollen, whereas the fly looks for the sores and the pus. Hare Krishna. Oh, we're over time. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I'll finish that. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.